As we celebrate Mother's Day, we are thankful for our mothers. We're thankful for the godly counsel, example, and counsel and influence they have been in our lives. Most of the times that I have heard people speak of their mother, words such as good, great, even greatest were used. My question is, how do you or what is the measure of a mother? We're going to look at a passage of Scripture that may not seem to deal with mothers, but I think it does. Jesus had been in Jerusalem, then went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him out into a very remote area and gathered around him. Some 5,000 men, Scripture says, with no report of how many women and children were there, with practically no food. Jordan, that is really hot. I can hear it ringing. One boy did have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, so Jesus multiplies this to feed the crowd with much left over. Withdrawing again from the crowd, Jesus was followed yet again. And so we pick up where Jesus addresses the true reason of why they had sought after him. There is a need each of us has that can only be satisfied or met by a relationship with Jesus. And mothers play a key role in pointing children to Jesus. So we're going to look at the measure of a mother. John chapter 6, if you have not found your place in your Bible. John chapter 6. They've asked him a question in verse 25. Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered them and said, truly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father, God, has set his seal. Therefore they said to him, what shall we do so that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, what then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. The measure of a mother. The measure of a mother is first if she points others towards what is truly important. Moms, point others towards Jesus. Point others towards Jesus. There's nothing else more important. Jesus is the source of life. He's not a good part of life. He's not a nice addition to life. He is life. He is the source of life. And so the real work of a mother has to do with the spiritual, not just the physical. You say, watched me, my day? I remember the days of having 3 under the age of 5. Those were fun days. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Well, they were good days. They weren't always fun days, but they were good days. But focus on the spiritual more than just the physical. Jesus has done 2 amazing things in this story. even miraculous things that he has fed the huge crowd with practically nothing, and then he walked across the water, and all the people wanted to know was, how did you get here? When did you get here? They had missed completely the true meaning of what he had done. They were seeking after Jesus because he had met their physical need. And you hear that over and over and over. What about my physical need? What about my physical need? Give me this bread. Give me this bread. And he's saying to you and to me, there's something more important than the physical. There is something much more important than the physical. Every one of us, the crowd and us, need a relationship with Jesus. The people were so focused on the physical, they seemed oblivious to the spiritual. And isn't that true in those days when you've got these kids running around, tearing things up, making a mess, and doing all this stuff, that sometimes we can focus on the physical and be oblivious to the spiritual? I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you to never forget the spiritual. Well, all this points to the reality of two opposing views of life. As one commentator said, to some, man is primarily a spiritual being who lives by insights, convictions, and intangible values. To others, he is primarily a physical being engaged in a lifelong struggle for bread. So, moms, are you pointing others towards what is truly important? As you think of your life in terms of what is truly important, and what you are putting into it, think about it in terms of packing to go hike the AT. What would you take? I don't know how I'd pack a queen-size bed. I don't know how I'd pack a shower and a hot water heater. A couple years ago, I thought one of the hikers was kidding when they talked about, two or three of them were talking about cutting the handle off their toothbrush to reduce the weight. I thought, you got to be kidding me. Well, I brought it up to somebody this year. They said, oh yeah, I do that. Get rid of everything except what you need. And that's what is truly important. So what are you packing into your life? What is truly important to you? You point at what is truly important to you by how you spend your time, your energy, and your resources. Are you pursuing spiritual matters more than just physical matters? Ladies, men, never forget that more is caught than is taught. And never forget that you will do as you had done to you or as you saw done. So are you focusing on the spiritual matters? Does your family see you reading your Bible? Do they see you praying? Or do they see you only on your phone? Is church a non-negotiable, or do you let other things crowd it out? Is Bible study a non-negotiable, or do you let other things crowd it out? Is praying, and I don't mean just at the table, I'm talking about your personal time with the Lord. You can call it a devotion, you can call it a quiet time, call it whatever you want, but every one of us needs time with the Lord. In a recent World Magazine article, Trevin Wax, he's a writer, a blogger, and himself a millennial. He was asked, this was the question posed to him, what's one crucial assumption that many millennials make? This was his reply. 80% of Americans, including millennials, believe enjoying yourself is the highest goal of life. Not one goal, not a goal, but the highest goal of life. The number of practicing Christians who go to church at least once a month is in the high 60%. So the idea that the goal of life is enjoyment is the dominant framework of thought for people all across our country, including in our churches. In church, we sing the same songs and listen to the same sermons, but one person may have the idea from the Westminster Catechism that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, with worship foundational, and others see enjoying life as the highest goal, with the church a help for them to fulfill their own dreams. God help us. If your highest dream, if your chief end, if what you're pursuing more than anything else is to enjoy yourself, God help us. I don't know about you, but I get a little nervous when I hear about the guy in North Korea. I think he's a little unhinged. Well, God help us, if we go into another war, we will lose it. I think about my dad. I think about the World War II generation who grew up not having everything they wanted, not thinking that if I don't have the newest and the fastest and the best, then life's just not worth living. That was willing to go to Europe, that was willing to go to the Pacific and fight and die for our freedoms. God help us if we face another world war. We will not win it. If enjoying life. You say, well, aren't you supposed to enjoy life? Yes, but you're supposed to get that secondary. Let me tell you, if your pursuit in life is to enjoy life, you probably won't ever get it. Because the real end of life, the real aim of life needs to be a relationship with Christ and a vibrant, growing relationship with Christ, and then everything else will fall into place. So let me be clear. To glorify God and enjoy Him forever is the chief end of man, not your enjoyment. It's not about you. Let me tell you, I have never enjoyed changing my kids' dirty diapers. And in fact, now as a grandfather, I'm pretty good at passing them off. But you know what I did? And I didn't enjoy any one of the dirty diapers. But my kids needed it done. I needed to do it for them. And so I did it. I did what ultimately brought glory to God. You say a dirty diaper changing? Yeah. Because my kids needed to know that their father loved them. Is Christ most important to you? Is glorifying Him most important to you? That is the first measure of a mother. The measure of a mother continues by her showing to believe Jesus is to obey Jesus. Moms, show your families what it means to follow Jesus. Jesus talked in verses 26 to 33 of the true bread of heaven, that which truly satisfies a person. And if you read it, and you kind of get that they don't ever catch it. Because they talk about Moses, and they talk about God giving the bread, and they just never quite get it. So in verse 34, he makes it very clear. The people did not get it, and they were still thinking stomachs when Jesus was talking hearts. I thought the most talked about part of the Bible was the heart. But you know what? What comes out of your mouth shows what's in your heart. So in verse 35, he makes another very clear statement. I am the bread of life. I am that which will satisfy a person. To not be hungry, you must believe on me. Be so convinced of me that you obey me. You say, where do you get the word obey here? Well, let me tell you, if you don't believe something, you don't do it. For some reason, the thought just came into my mind. My first paying job was I had the worst boss known to mankind. It was that guy I was talking about a minute ago that fought in World War II, that sat across the dinner table from me every night, my dad. But the first paying job I ever had was fixing window air conditioners, and that kind of tells you how old I am, back when everybody had window air conditioners. If you look, just looked at it, it just looked like a piece of copper wiring. I remember one air conditioner I was working on, and I should have unplugged the thing. Duh. But after the second time that the 220 volt popped me, I had to sit down. And I was convinced at that point. I was convinced that if I really believed that electricity would hurt me, then I was going to obey it. And that's what Jesus is challenging us to do, is to obey him. He goes on, Jesus goes on to mix the analogy or example a little. He said, if you will follow me, if you will obey me, you will never thirst. He's talked about the bread. He's talked about the stomach. He's talked about that hunger. But now he's talking about thirst. You will never lack or desire anything. Not only will your deepest needs be met, they will be met, he said, for eternity. All that the Father gives Jesus, every person the Holy Spirit has been sent to draw them to Christ, will never be cast out. Jesus came not to do his own will, showing obedience, but to do the will of the Father. So what is the will of the Father? That everyone who hears of Jesus would believe in him, follow Jesus, and obey him. When you are given a prescription for medicine, do you follow the doctor's instructions to the letter? When you're given a prescription, particularly for an antibiotic, do you follow the prescription completely? Well, there's many in our country that probably since about the first day that antibiotics began being prescribed for different things, people did not follow the instructions. They did not obey the instructions completely. And we have a problem today. We have developed bacteria that cannot be controlled by the antibiotics that we have. A superbug has developed, all because you and I do not obey. Be honest. Are you obeying Jesus? Are you thinking like, acting like, becoming like Jesus more every day? What are you doing to think like Jesus more every day? Well, you've got to read his word. You've got to meditate on his word. You've got to think about what the Lord is saying to us. If you just read God's word once a week or something, or if you just come to church once a week, well, I was in church last week. That's not going to cut it. When you say something too sharply or get angry and blow up too much, do you go to Jesus and ask for forgiveness? And what about the person that you blew up at? Moms, are you teaching your kids the necessity of obedience? If they come to think that they don't have to obey you, they will also come to think they don't ultimately have to obey the Lord. One of my observations in life has been that the closer someone is to a person, the harder it is for that person to tell themselves the truth about that someone. It is not a matter of raising your kids in church. It is a matter of you showing your family that to say you believe Jesus is to obey Jesus. Back in March, we had a conference here. It was called Leading Like Jesus. One of the last emails I got from that organization said this: leading like Jesus is a lifelong journey. On the way, we may at times lose our focus on the guiding principles and practices modeled by Jesus. Our desire for heart transformation may wane as we face resistance or the pull of old habits. Pride and fear may edge out godly humility and confidence. The demands of daily life may distract us from maintaining a consistent focus on Jesus. Oddly enough, familiarity and success can also cause our focus to waver. Where are you easily distracted from the course Jesus has laid out for us as disciples? What helps you stay the course? If you have become distracted, if you have gone astray, come back. Let those around you, your family especially, see that you are following Jesus. Let them see your life pointing to what is truly important. Let them see you obeying Jesus. So, moms, how do you measure up?